It's harasser propositions such as, are you going to be a good girl? To perpetrators exposing their genitals. To victims having their private parts grabbed on the House floor.
The Speaker of the House asked me if I brought my knee pads to work when I asked if he could help me get my bill out of committee.
And the young staffer is a young woman and was greeted with a member in a towel who then invited her in. At that point, he decided to expose himself. That kind of situation, what are we doing here for women right now who are dealing with somebody like that?
Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California, Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, and Congresswoman Barbara Comstock of Virginia, two Democratic women and a Republican, relaying that for them, professional politics has been what Speier calls a breeding ground for a hostile work environment for far too long. This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick with you on this Friday. And this week, sexual harassment and assault by politicians, current, former, or in the running, has been at the front and center of our national conversation. More women described sexual misconduct by Senate candidate Roy Moore in Alabama. And yesterday, new allegations about a sitting senator, Al Franken.
He stuck his tongue down my mouth, and I remember I pushed him off with my hands. And I just remember I almost punched him, so because every time I see him now, like, my hands clench into fists, and I'm sure that's probably why.
That's broadcaster Leanne Tweeden relaying her account of being forcibly kissed by Al Franken in 2006, before he was a Democratic senator from Minnesota, and then of him groping her while she was sleeping. Al Franken released a statement of apology the Senate Ethics Committee is now investigating. But in Congress and outside, sexual harassment has a long history and a sordid home in politics. Cheryl Gay Stolberg is Washington correspondent for The New York Times, and she's here with some perspective and some history. Cheryl, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Cheryl, you wrote about a year ago about why sexual harassment seems to be a grim and persistent part of politics. You've been watching more allegations unfold this week, along with the rest of us. What have you been thinking about?
Well, I think politics is kind of a unique profession or environment, a unique place for a breeding ground, as the Congresswoman called it, for a couple of reasons. One, politics tends to attract young people. So young women and also young men who are sometimes victimized come into this arena that's filled with power. And we know that sexual harassment and sexual assault are a lot more about power than about sex. And secondly, in politics, the organization rises and falls around a central figure. So if you're being sexually harassed in a company, maybe the harasser can get fired and the problem goes away. But in politics, if you're talking about an elected official, the voters put that official in place, and the whole organization depends upon the continued success of that one individual at the center. So if I'm a young woman and I report that I'm being harassed, I could not only lose my job if the person's political career goes down the tubes, but all my colleagues could lose their jobs as well.
What you're talking about is sort of a perfect storm of power and hierarchy that makes politics a ripe environment for sexual harassment. Cheryl, and I'll add into that you and me, the media glare on politics that has an enforced code of silence when harassment starts in the first place.
I think that's true. And I should also say that reporters, actually, who work in political environments are not exempt. For my story, I interviewed but didn't quote a young reporter at the State House in Albany. And she complained to me that when she was attending a press conference, after the press conference was over, a lawmaker there pushed her to the corner of the room, sort of, you know, walked her into the corner of the room and then reached out and grabbed her from behind, right there in full view of all the people who are standing around.
Cheryl, you and I covered Capitol Hill for many years, side by side. I want to tell you that I've experienced advances from both male and female members of Congress at work. I confess I never perceived it as much of a threat, and I still don't. Everybody's different. But in the age of iPhones, women journalists on Capitol Hill lament all the time about how late night texts, sometimes inappropriate calls or texts from members, are a cost of having cell phone access to the people they cover. Not in all cases, but in many.
That's especially true, I think, here in Congress, because people who come to Congress are far away from their families, right? So it's an environment where people do tend to work late at night, and men and women are away from home. You know, they're living here as sort of a free-for-all atmosphere in the, you know, in the evenings. And I think that's also maybe a part of this culture that you're describing. I think I know a lot of people who've experienced, if not advances, sort of untoward comments or just behavior that wouldn't be viewed as appropriate in any other workplace.
Let's talk a little bit how the culture of sexual harassment in politics has changed, though. We're in a moment of revelation now in this country. Some of it's reactionary, I think reactionary to an era of non-accountability before this. But we can go back, Cheryl, as far as we like into the history of non-accountability for this behavior in politics. But it seems like, to me, the rise and the career and the presidency of Bill Clinton is a great place to start a reckoning about the modern era of sexual harassment and assault.
He sat down, pulled down his pants, and he was exposed. And I said, I'm not that kind of girl.
The next thing I knew, he had me backed into a corner. And, you know, hands all over me, trying to kiss me, whispering in my ear.
And then as he points over my shoulder, he grabs me and turns me to him. And I kept telling him no, and he wouldn't listen.
Cheryl, it seems like this country, well, really, it seems like Democrats and liberals are just beginning to reckon with the accusations and the behaviors of Bill Clinton.
Yes, that's true. You know, Democrats and liberals really gave Bill Clinton a pass. I think their thinking back in the 90s was, well, he's been a good president for women's rights, so let's kind of shut our eyes to these allegations against him. But we know that sexual assault and sexual harassment know no political bounds. And Democrats are starting to open their eyes to reckon with what Bill Clinton was accused of. We saw just last night, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said in an interview with The Times that Bill Clinton should have resigned over his affair with Monica Lewinsky. I think that's a first, a sitting Democratic senator saying now that the former Democratic president was unfit to serve because of his treatment of a young woman.
Yeah, and Cheryl, President Trump last night tweeted mockingly about Al Franken, without irony, I'll add. A president who's had no fewer than 10 women accusing him of sexual harassment and assault, and who bragged about how easy it was for him to kiss and grope women whenever he wanted. We're all familiar with it.
Yeah, this is really the pot calling the kettle black, Todd. And I guess I'm wondering, as we're having this reckoning with, as you said, people like Bill Clinton and now Al Franken on the Democratic side, and Republicans are having their own reckoning with Roy Moore, Republicans in Washington calling him unfit to serve. When is that reckoning going to happen with the man in the White House? You know, President Trump, as you said, admitted on tape that he grabbed women by the crotch.
How easy is it to report sexual harassment on Capitol Hill right now?
You know, it's not that easy. There's this convoluted system that requires counseling. Women have to go to something called the women and men, I should say, men are victims too, and we shouldn't forget that, have to go to something called the Office of Compliance. And once they report something, there's a mandatory period, I think, of 30 days of counseling. They're required to go through mediation, and it all has to be kept secret. So it's a system that was set up by Congress to apply only to Congress, and it's really not that easy to report and to see through a claim.
Cheryl, there's no question that we're at a remarkable moment and maybe a moment of accountability on Capitol Hill and outside. But you and I both know there are a lot of very, very powerful people in that building who would like nothing more than for this conversation to go away so they can talk about almost anything else. What are the chances here, do you think, for real change to this culture on Capitol Hill that's sustainable?
Well, we are seeing some steps. The Senate has instituted now mandatory sexual harassment training. I believe the House is doing the same. I think the first step toward change in any culture is to talk about it. And at least we're talking about it. Whether there'll be changes that are sustainable, I don't know. I'm taking a big breath here because, you know, politics is politics. The conditions that we've described, the idea that young people are attracted to the profession, that it's a profession that involves power, those things aren't going to change. So what's got to change is the willingness of people to speak up about it and the willingness of those in power to condemn these kinds of acts.
Veteran reporter and Washington correspondent for the New York Times, Cheryl Gay Stolberg. Cheryl, it's always good to have you.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be here.
Well, all this week, we've heard so many stories from you, our listeners, stories of sexual assault and harassment. Here are just a few.
I've had an employer comment that I shouldn't get pregnant. I've had an employer comment that they preferred me single. I've had a coworker comment about my success in the court case I was involved in, that the outcome was largely influenced by my appearance. The judge undoubtedly favored me because I'm quote-unquote hot.
Hi, I'm calling anonymously from Chicago. I never reported sexual harassment from my boss because when I was young, and I guess I thought this is just the way things are in the workplace, he was gay, and I didn't see sexual harassment as power at that time, and I do now. So even though he would show me sexually explicit pictures or make incredibly inappropriate comments, since he wasn't attracted to me, I guess I didn't consider it harassment. And now that I've been in a different workplace, and I know that's not just status quo, I do see it as a power move.
We're hearing your stories, and this next one is especially disturbing.
My name is Carol. I'm calling from Hillsborough, New Jersey. I was sexually harassed by a high school English teacher. He came into the library where I was studying, and at the time, I didn't understand what he actually did, but as I became older, I realized that he actually sat across from the large wooden table, and as I was writing and studying, he started masturbating, and the table was going up and down. So I was so embarrassed, I didn't tell the library attendant, I didn't tell my parents, and I took my books and I left. But I was mortified, and of course I had to go back to class the next day, and it was not something that I felt comfortable talking about.
We're hearing from so many of you with your personal stories of sexual harassment and sexual assault. And we want to thank the many of you who've chosen to share your stories with us. I also want to say that we listen to each and every call and read each and every text and Facebook post that we get, even the ones that don't make it to the air. We are here to listen on this show, and your role in giving your voice to the show is the most important thing to us. We're always at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples, offering print and marketing solutions for business, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, signage, and more. More at Staples stores or staples.com/print and marketing. Staples, it's pro time.